All right, everybody. I'd like to call to order this September 28th, 2023 meeting of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. And in a little while, I'll swear in anyone who wants to speak today. All proceedings of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. The decisions of the Savannah ZBA are final. Challenges to decisions of this board must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise-making devices, if you will please silence them at this time. Right now, if you will you stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer? Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come here today and to do the business of this city. Lord, I pray that you give each one of us wisdom, help us to guide things with discretion and with honesty. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege of living in this city. I thank you for the men and women that are here today. I ask you, Lord, to bless the marriages and families of Savannah and Chatham County and just fill this place with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, if you plan on speaking or giving testimony today, will you please stand? Stand. I want to take this very seriously. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Okay. All right, there's a request to have an item removed from the final agenda. That's 115 Dykes Drive. Variances to the minimum rear yard setback for accessory building 23-004540-ZBA. Do I hear a motion to remove this from final agenda?
Motion.
Second.
All right, I believe there's a motion by Mr. Condon and a second by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Evans? Larry's not here. Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the item will be removed. Next, we'll have the approval of the minutes from the August 24th meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve?
I shall move.
All right, Mr. Jones has made a motion to approve the minutes, and Mr. Plunk has seconded the motion. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes, and the minutes are approved. All right. Do I hear a motion to approve the final agenda as you see before you?
Motion.
All right, Mr. Condon's made a motion to approve the final agenda.
Second
by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the final agenda is approved. First, we're going to hear the case of 612 East Gwinnett Street. This is a variance to the minimum front yard setback 23-004374.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members, Melissa Lito, MPC staff. The petitioner is requesting a variance to the maximum front yard setback within the TC2 traditional commercial 2 zoning district for a proposed over-under duplex to provide two required parking spaces at 612 East Gwinnett Street. The subject property in the hatched area here, it fronts 30 feet onto a 16-foot wide frontage road from East Gwinnett Street and 108.6 feet in depth with no lane access to the rear of the property. The property is currently undeveloped and is between two-story family residence and a two-story over-under duplex. Here is the site plan. Trying to fit the whole property in there. There you go. In the TC2 zoning district, the front yard requirement is a 5 feet maximum, and also they would be required a parking space, even if it was a single family residence and not a duplex. And as there is no lane and the lot is 30 feet in width, it's very difficult to provide it, so that's why the applicant is applying for the front yard maximum setback requirement variance to provide two parking spaces in the front. The proposed plan meets all the development standards within the TC2 zoning district except for the maximum 5 foot front yard setback. The request is going over the variance criteria. The request is not injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. The variance seeks to provide two conforming parking spaces within the front yard where the maximum front yard setback requirement is 5 feet. I'm going to show you a map. Here is an aerial view of the subject properties. 612 East Broad is in the middle here. The property owner also lives and resides at 610 East Broad. And then there is a duplex here and vacant properties here, which are part of another development within this historic African-American theater. As you can see, this is a very small passageway to get to the properties. And then there is a large wall that separates that road into the East Gwinnett Street Road. The two adjacent properties do not have a conforming parking space on the subject lots. The property at 610 East Gwinnett Street has a gravel front yard that does not meet the maximum 5 foot front yard setback. So to provide, the property owner has to provide, is providing a compact parking space. And the property at 614 and 616 East Gwinnett Street does not have a dedicated parking space at all on the subject properties for the duplex. The property owner at 614 and 616 East Gwinnett also owns 618, 620, and 624 East Gwinnett Street. The subject property east of 612 East Gwinnett Street, addressed as 614 and 16, currently provides parking on the right-of-way. I have a picture of that in my site visits, so I'll show you that in a moment. Going over the rest of the criteria, the special condition would be that the lot is 30 feet in width and the only appropriate area for the petitioner to provide the required parking spaces is in the front yard, as there is no lane facing the rear yard of the property. The special conditions are not purely financial in nature. There is no adequate space to provide the required parking spaces for the proposed two-story over-under dwellings with a lot width of 30 feet, no lane access to the rear of the property, and a maximum front yard setback of 5 feet. The literal interpretation of the regulations would result in an undue hardship on the petitioner, as a variance is required to conform to the minimum parking requirements. Otherwise, the petitioner would have to apply for a parking variance for two vehicle parking spaces. Staff recommendation is based upon the review criteria. Staff recommends approval of the requested variance to the maximum 5 foot front yard setback to provide two vehicle parking spaces at 612 East Gwinnett Street. And let me show you. Let me show you some site visit photos. So here's the vacant lot. And this is a picture from the rear of the lot facing the frontage road on East Gwinnett Street. This is 610 East Gwinnett, which the property owner for the vacant lot resides in. And she is adjacent to the historic African American Theater building. This is the frontage road where the residents have to go through and park. This is the wall that I was speaking about that separates the frontage road from East Gwinnett Street. And this is the adjacent neighbor to the right at 614, 616. And as you can see, hopefully I think I have a better picture, they are parking on the frontage road. And the three vacant lots are bordered by a fence as the other development for height variance item on this agenda. So they are not even able to park within the vacant properties, even though they're same ownership at this time. That is all for me. If you have any questions, also the petitioner is here as well.
Okay. Are there any questions for staff? Mrs. Jones?
Because that's at the overpass on Gwinnett?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Anyone else? Thank you, Mrs. Leto. Would the petitioner please come forward, state your name for the record, and sign in? Mrs. Leto, did you say the petitioner was here?
Yes, Ms. Silva. Yes.
If you will, please state your name for the record and sign in. And if you have anything to say, we'd be glad to hear it.
I just want to say that I have been thinking about do something, develop something since 4 years ago, and I have this opportunity right now. So I would like to be able to fulfill my dream.
And your name, ma'am?
Sylvia.
Sylvia. Okay. Does anybody have any questions for the petitioner? No? Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you will, raise your hand. If you're online, use the raise your hand feature. We'll be glad to recognize you. Do you have any?
No, sir.
Okay, sir, if you'd like to speak, come forward and please state your name for the record.
Yes, sir. Jerry Gildes. Originally from Detroit, I used to do construction up there, that kind of stuff, retired now. I think it's a great idea that somebody wants to rehab that old theater. Pardon me?
This?
I know, you're talking about the heights and stuff. No!
Well, you're talking about 612 East Gwinnett.
Oh, this isn't about the theater stuff yet.
Not yet.
Not yet, thank you. I don't want to talk to you then. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody that would like to speak concerning 612 East Gwinnett? All right, if not, we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Relevant to this application.
Okay. Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Okay, would someone like to make a motion?
I move that we accept the recommendation from the board.
Okay, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to accept staff recommendations for approval. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the request for variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear the request for 1907 East 67th Street, variances to the maximum size and maximum side yard setback for an accessory dwelling unit. This is 23-004509.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petitioner is requesting two variances to the accessory dwelling unit ordinance. A variance to the maximum, I'll just show you, a variance to the maximum ADU square footage in relation to the principal dwelling, and a variance to the minimum side yard setback for an ADU. The property is located within the residential single family 10 zoning district at 1907 East 62nd Street. The subject property fronts 100 feet onto East 62nd Street and 200 feet in depth with no lane access to the rear of the property. The subject property is a rectangular shaped lot of approximately 20,000 square feet of area and 100 feet of frontage. The property is currently developed with a one-story single family dwelling, a rear covered porch, and an existing garage. This is the picture of the front yard. You'll see the garage over here to the right. And then this is the garage. This is the subject structure for converting into an accessory dwelling unit. The petitioner is proposing to convert an existing garage into an accessory dwelling unit for her grandparents. The existing garage is 672 square feet in size and will be converted into an ADU, which the requirement is 40% of the principal dwelling and will go over 5%, so with a total of 45% over the principal dwelling unit. And also, it does not meet the required 7-foot setback in the ADU requirements. The side setback is the same setback that the principal dwelling unit shall be, and it has currently 3 feet 5 inches when the requirement in the RSF 10 is 7 feet. And this shows the setback area here. The request is not injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. The variances seek to provide an existing garage into a conforming accessory dwelling unit. The special condition would be that the existing garage was built with a non-conforming side setback of 3 feet 5 inches, and now that the petitioner is proposing to convert it into an accessory dwelling unit, the building will have to meet the accessory dwelling unit requirements. The existing garage converting into an ADU is currently 45% over the principal dwelling, and it is does not meet the minimum side yard setback at the principal dwelling. Based upon the review criteria, staff recommends approval of the requested variances to the maximum 40% to 45% of the principal structure and the variance to the minimum 7-foot side yard setback requirement to 3 feet 5 inches in order to convert an existing garage into an accessory dwelling unit at 1907 East 62nd Street. I am here to answer any questions as well as the property owner, which is the petitioner.
Any questions for staff? All right, thank you again, Mrs. Leto.
Thank you.
Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Natalie Elbling.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going? Thank you for listening today. So my grandfather and my grandmother would like to move to Savannah. I purchased this house in the fall of 2021. They are both becoming elderly. I live by myself, and we thought it would be a great idea to utilize the space on my property and convert it to an ADU. I have letters from both of my adjacent neighbors stating that it is okay if we could accept this variance. The neighbor to the right, which is the neighbor that has the 7-foot setback, thinks that it's a great idea. Him and my grandfather are friends. They, whenever he's visiting, they speak often. And he approves the request. And then the neighbor on the left is also great. We have a very awesome street, and I'm very lucky to have purchased this house with incredible neighbors. The single story is idyllic for my grandparents, so they don't have to go up any steps. They can pull right up into the driveway. There's an additional space on the left of the driveway that allows me to park, so we won't have to do any street parking. The garage was built that way, and we would just like to use what we have on the property to the best of its ability.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for petitioner? All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? And if you're online, use the raise your hand feature. Do you have any?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, if there's none, then we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Not at this time.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plunk?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jarrett?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Well, would someone like to make a motion?
Motion to grant petitioner's request.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the variances are approved. Next, we're going to hear the petition for 3009 Skidway Road, variance to the minimum monument sign height. This is 23-004528.
You're at 3009 Skidway Road, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. The petitioner is requesting a sign variance to the maximum height of a monument sign. The property is located within the BC Community Business Zoning District at 3009 Skidaway Road. The maximum height for a monument sign is 10 feet in height. The subject property fronts 142 feet onto Skidaway Road and approximately 276 feet in depth. These are the petitioner's layouts for their monument sign. Currently, this is what's existing. It has a steel structure with brick overlay, a digital signage that the petitioner would like to keep, electronic message unit, and then there used to be a Dairy Queen on the site, so they are wanting to replace it. They're willing to just replace the pylon facing, which would not require a variance, but as the shaping of the Dairy Queen is a trademark, and so they are trying to avoid a lawsuit. And then they want to replace that top unit with their cookout sign, which is what the establishment will be. Right now, it's 24 feet on 7 inches, and they are proposing 24 feet, so a reduction of 7 inches. There are some existing pictures off of Skidway. There seems to be a development pattern there on monument signage. So here is the subject monument sign in relation to others. Here's some more pictures. Let me go over the criteria. The request is not injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare, as the monument sign is existing, and the petitioner is proposing to remove two existing frame signage from Dairy Queen on an existing monument sign and replace with a cookout sign that will provide 7 inches lower in height than what is existing. The property owner's existing monument sign, which he adopted through the purchase of the establishment, is not irregular within the development pattern, as you can see, directly off of Skidway Road. The special conditions would be that the monument sign exists and has a height of 24 feet 7 inches in height. Petitioner is proposing 7 inches lower in height than what is existing for a total of 24 feet. The special conditions are not purely financial in nature. The petitioner would be willing, as I mentioned, to replace the pylon facing within the existing Dairy Queen sign frames. However, the shaping of the top frame is trademarked by Dairy Queen. Let me go back to the original signage. The petitioner was not aware when renovating the restaurant space that the monument sign was not conforming, as several monument signs adjacent and throughout the Skidaway Road are all larger in height than the existing sign on this property. However, he was told by the building department and zoning. And then our recommendation. Based upon the review criteria and the development pattern regarding the monument signs, staff recommends approval of the requested variance to the maximum sign height to provide a 24-foot monument sign at 3009 Skidaway Road. I'm here to answer any questions. And not sure. The petitioner should be here, but I'm not quite sure if he is.
He's here.
Yes, he is here. Sorry.
Are there any questions for staff?
No.
Then, all right. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name?
Good morning. John Armfield with Cookout Restaurants.
How you doing?
Great. We would like to keep the existing signage there because every property adjacent to us is also non-conforming, and the cost of building a new sign and taking that down would be very expensive.
Any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? And again, if you're online, use the raise your hand feature.
No, sir.
Okay. Well, Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, I'm just familiar with the area.
Me too.
Dairy Queen, and we wondered what was going to go there, so now we know.
Mr. Condon, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I agree with Ms. Jones.
Mr. Plump?
No.
Mrs. Jared?
Not our most beautiful view corridor.
No.
But no.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
I move that we accept staff recommendation of approval.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the petition. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion before we vote? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the request for variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear the petition of 108 Gaston Street, Unit B, variance to the minimum parking requirements
23-004425. The petitioner is requesting a variance to one vehicle parking space within the DR downtown residential zoning district for a change of use from residential to retail general use at 108 Gaston Street. The subject property fronts 24 feet onto East Gaston Street. It is a four-story residential dwelling with a basement space. The current use for Unit B, which is the subject unit, is a two-bedroom garden apartment without a designated parking space. Here is a picture of the Unit B entrance, and then I will show you a floor plan as well. The petitioner is proposing for a change of use for Unit B into a new makeup boutique use. This classification is retail general, and the minimum parking requirements for such use is one parking space per 250 square feet is required. The building is located within the parking reduction area of the downtown Savannah parking area, which means parking may be reduced by 60%, which results in 1.6 spaces, which rounds to two parking spaces. The current use for the Unit B is a two-bedroom garden apartment without a designated parking space. The change of use can claim a credit for one parking space for a non-conforming parking area. The final parking requirement is one parking space. The petitioner is not able to provide on-site parking. This is the property. You enter on Gaston Street here. This is the Unit B floor plan. So you go in, and then this is within the parameters of the Unit B. And the petitioner has already moved in and has established a makeup boutique retail store. She essentially would like to, I think in her history, she can speak to it more, but she provides makeup for movies, and so her proposal is to continue that use within the Savannah film industry. But based on the site plan, you can see there's a carriage house in the back, and then a courtyard, and then the four-story existing building. Based on the variance criteria, staff states the request could be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare, as potential customers will take up on-site parking that the residential and short-term rental units end up utilizing. As of now, I'm not aware that no retail customers will be coming, assuming that they will be coming to her establishment. I'm sure that she can go on site for film, for her film, her duties for makeup. And there are no special conditions or unique circumstances which are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved and which are not applicable to other buildings regarding the subject property. Currently, the property owner rents long-term a two-bedroom basement apartment for a basement apartment. The property owner has decided to lease the basement space for retail use, which is a more intense use than a residential unit, with one parking space per 250 square feet. The property owner is not being deprived of all use of the Unit B space, as it can still be used as an apartment unit without the need of a parking variance. The special conditions may not be purely financial in nature. However, the property owner currently does not require a parking variance and could still rent the unit as a residential dwelling. The literal interpretation of the regulations would not result in undue hardship for the property owner. The owner could keep utilizing the basement apartment as a rental apartment. The petitioner could find a space that has sufficient parking available without the need for a variance. So they could look for another property, another parcel, to have their retail establishment that would have sufficient parking. The variance, if granted, would not be the minimum variances needed for the property. Currently, there is no need for a parking variance as an apartment unit. Based on our recommendation, and the review criteria, staff recommends denial of the requested parking variance at 108 East Gaston Street, Unit B. I'm here to answer any questions, and the petitioner is here as well.
Jared, any questions for staff? Go ahead, Mrs. Jared.
Is the owner and the user the same individual?
No, ma'am.
So a user came in and said, I want to use this space. How long have they been actively using that space? Any idea?
I would ask the petitioner, but it looked like she had just decorated it and moved in with her makeup establishment, but I don't think she's currently using the space because she can't without the parking requirement.
Okay.
So the property owner authorized the petitioner to do this retail establishment.
Without realizing what the regs were.
Okay. Any more questions? Ms. Jarrett, that's all you got? Anybody else? All right, would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hi, my name is Dawn Angeletti, and I'm the petitioner. There are three letters of support for this. Could you please pull those up? My neighbors are in support of my small business. I'm a single woman opening a small business in a really lovely area, and everybody's been very supportive of this. I don't understand why there is a denial for my business. I'm one person. I am looking to open a small makeup boutique. Basically, there would be foot traffic and then me going on to bring makeup supplies to film industry people. Like I said, I've had letters of support from the people in the neighborhood, so I'm not really sure why there is a motion to deny this. I have a lot of money invested into this business. I'm very excited to bring a small business to this area, and I have a lot of support for it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions for the petitioner? Mr. Conning, go ahead.
Go ahead.
How many people would you be doing makeup for at a time at this establishment?
One person at a time.
Mrs. Jarrett.
Do you live at the establishment as well as work there?
No, I do not.
Okay. So you come in. Where do you park?
I just have street parking. There's a lot of different street parking available. There's free parking around the back as well as a lot of street parking. I'm right at Forsyth Park too. So there's, you know, a lot of tourists that walk by. So there is parking available.
Go ahead, Mr. Conner.
I'm assuming that the folks who are engaging in your services are making appointments to do so.
Typically, yes.
Typically, yeah. So it wouldn't necessarily be people walking by. They might come in and schedule an appointment, but it's more, what I'm trying to define here is how many potential cars could be associated with people at your establishment at any one time?
Probably one. If somebody is coming in for an appointment, honestly, that's probably about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In operation, have you started seeing customers here?
Not at this location. I have it up and running online, and I'm waiting for this approval. This is the last piece of the puzzle for me to be able to fully open the business to the public, and I'm looking forward to it because this is honestly my dream business.
And is this your first location?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess because you work on the movies sometimes, you know, do you go on site there or okay?
Yeah. Yeah. What we've been on strike since, you know, early July. So yeah. I've been out of work since then. That's why I've been in putting my, business together and hoping for it to open. I've been hoping for it to open by October 1st.
The letters of support you have, I hadn't had a chance to pull those up. Does someone live in the carriage house that's behind
Yes, somebody lives in the carriage house.
Were they one of the letters of support? Have they?
I haven't gotten a chance to read the letters of support yet. I read one of them. I believe one of them is from the neighbor next door.
Perhaps staff can.
So is, are the Go letters ahead, of support for the business or for the parking? Did they say?
Look at right here.
Yeah, I believe they refer to the parking.
Okay.
Because that's the request of the
course.
You know, this one speaks about the parking spaces that are blocked because of construction in the area that have, you know, been taking up spaces.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
I can open up the third letter of support as well.
Okay.
This business is my entire livelihood, and I've put every bit of my life savings into it.
One more question.
Go ahead, Mrs. Jared.
So there would be only one customer, which would be one potential car for this business, but there's also your car, correct?
Yes.
And someone lives in the carriage house, so there's that car also.
I don't know that person, if they have a car or not.
But there's another potential car, and I think in many of our parking regs, we require the car, the carriage houses to accommodate. Is this not in this area? Okay. And the main house itself also.
They have a garage space.
They do have a garage space, mm-hmm. And there's no ability to use the drive for that garage space.
They were allowing me to use their garage. But when they asked for that variance, they weren't granted that. They said that they had a garage space that they were allowing me to use in lieu of this variance, and they were denied that.
Okay. Thank you.
You mean they were denied using that as, you know, counting towards your parking
Correct.
Spot? But practically speaking, do you use that space, even, you know, whether it counts against it or not? Do they
I don't currently use it, but it could be available potentially if that was, you know, the thing holding up this issue.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Is the property owner here?
She is not. She's on vacation.
Okay. You have any more questions? Anybody else? Yeah.
May I speak to the statement about the request to use the garage? This is John Anagnos from Planning and Urban Design at the City of Savannah. So that was a conversation I had with the applicant. And so the reason that they could not use the garage space is because they are receiving credit for a non-conforming parking area for the existing apartment unit of one space. If they claim the space in the garage for this area of the site, they no longer get credit for non-conforming. That just counts as the one space for the existing apartment. Therefore, it's a wash. They lose the credit for non-conformity because they're already claiming that space for the existing use.
I see. That makes sense. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything else?
No.
All right. Well, are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you will, raise your hand. If you're online, use the raise your hand feature. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This time we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Not at this time.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plunk?
I don't think so, no.
Mrs. Jared?
I'm a little concerned that we're creating a slippery slope here.
You'd like to elaborate?
If we allow this building to get away without a parking space, then how quickly are we going to have another residential to retail space, another petition coming forward? I don't see it so much in this particular situation, but I've seen it in a lot of other situations where development has gone, well, they got to do it.
Well,
just a concern.
Valid point. I mean, we do treat each case as an individual, not according to precedent. Anybody else would like to add anything before I've asked for a motion? Would someone like to make a motion?
My thought, well, as usual, Ms. Jarrett has very strong points. My thought on this is that because of the nature of this business, one person at a time, that the potential exists that the impact would be less so. If this was a retail establishment where she was selling makeup to the public and there were going to be people pulling up and taking up parking spaces to go in and buy things and what have you, I think that would be significantly different. In this instance, I think where it's by appointment, one person at a time, those people could park anywhere, you know, even in one of the public parking garages, you know, and walk over. And that may be something to advise folks to do. So I think this is, you know, thankfully precedents aren't set by what we do specifically, but I get your point. Do you know what I mean? It is for sure always a slippery slope. But I think in this particular case, the impact is pretty small. So that was just my thought.
I would recommend if we were to grant this, that petitioner look at, you know, utilizing that garage. You know, this area, you know, sometimes there's not a lot of parking. Sometimes there is, you know, it totally changes from day to day, you know, right next to Forsyth. If there's an event or there's, you know, the farmer's market every Saturday, sometimes there's lots of spots there. Sometimes there's not. Anything they can do to kind of mitigate their impact, I think would be good. You know, without the property owner here, we can't speak to that directly, but I did just want to add that on.
Okay. Once again, would someone care to make a motion?
Oh, no. Because, no.
I make a motion that we approve applicant's request for the variance.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve the applicant's request for variance. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Plunk. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
I would vote no.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mrs. Jarrett?
No.
All right. And to break the tie, I will vote yes. The motion is approved and the variance is granted. All right. Next, we're going to hear 514 Maupaw Avenue, variance to the minimum requirements for an accessory dwelling unit, 23-004393.
The petitioner is requesting the following variances: a variance for an 11-foot, 3-inch reduction to the minimum 15-foot rear yard. This is for an ADU, accessory dwelling unit. Sorry. A variance of the 11-foot, 3-inch reduction to the minimum 15-foot rear yard setback requirement when the ADU proposed height is over 15 feet in height when not abutting a lane. A variance to a 2-foot, 4-inch reduction to the east side 5-foot setback requirement for an accessory dwelling unit. A variance to the maximum coverage of 40% of the principal dwelling to allow for an additional 17.6 square feet or 1% increase, which would be 41%. A decrease to the 125% lot area requirement for an accessory dwelling unit from what they have on the lot, which is 5,565.3 square feet existing, and what is required for that parcel would be 7,500 square feet. Property is located within the RSF 6, Residential Single Family 6 Zoning District at 514 Mapa Avenue. This is an existing site plan that the architect has provided. Trying to get the whole parcel here. So there is an existing two-story residence. There is an existing garage. There is a small shed and a steel staircase that goes up to the second story. The applicant is proposing to demolish the shed, demolish the staircase, and demolish the existing garage. The proposal is to, once demolished of the garage, they would replace it with a carriage, two-story carriage house and within the same footprint of the existing garage. And this is the proposed site plan. The proposed plan indicates a two-story building with a garage and storage on the first floor and an accessory dwelling unit on the second floor. I have elevations. Going through the criteria, the request is not injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. However, the petitioner could have proposed an accessory dwelling unit that is smaller in size and height that would meet the side and rear yard setback requirements. The petitioner does not meet the 125% lot area for an accessory dwelling unit, does not meet the maximum coverage of 40%, does not meet the required side yard setback, nor the 15-foot required rear yard setback for an accessory structure, for an ADU that would be over 15 feet in height. By demolishing the existing garage, the petitioner was given a clean slate to meet all of the requirements for an accessory dwelling unit, except for the 125% lot area. Based upon the review criteria, staff recommends approval of the requested variances to the maximum 40% of the principal structure, to the minimum 5-foot side yard setback, to the minimum rear yard setback requirement based on the proposed height being over 15 feet in height requirement, and lastly to the lot area not meeting the 125% requirement for an accessory dwelling unit at the subject property 514 Mapa Avenue. I would also like to include that the item has received 5 letters of support. I'm here to answer any questions as the architect Michael Johnson is here as well.
Any questions for the petitioner? For staff. Mrs. Jarrett.
Can you tell me if the structure, the proposed ADU and the house are at exactly the same elevation as far as the roof line goes? Hard to see in that picture.
You mean the ground elevation?
Height.
Oh, in height? I would... It is the same size?
Yeah.
It isn't.
They're not.
The architect can address that question.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? All right. Thank you very much, Mrs. Letta. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Board. I'm Michael Johnson with Shaw Architecture, and I'm the petitioner for this project. This ADU is, so the existing garage is pretty dilapidated and run down. and not really able to be reused. It is on ground level where the main house is elevated up, and the main house is a much taller structure. So there's a pretty significant difference in height. I don't have the exact dimension for you off the top of my head, but we can provide that for you. But it's substantial. So while it is a two-story carriage house, it's substantially smaller in height than the regular than the main structure.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Anything else you'd like to add?
My only thing I'd like to add is the reason that we left the building to reuse the footprint would be really to move it and slide it forward would be more out of context with the neighborhood than the other carriage houses. And it would also, we'd be then back in front of you asking for a variance because then the accessory structure is too close to the main house.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Is there
you.
Any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you'll raise your hand. And if you're online, use the raise your hand feature.
No, sir.
Okay. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say? Mr. Plunk? Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
And Mrs. Jerry?
No, thank you.
Okay. Would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the applicant's request for variances.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve the applicant's request for variances. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the request for variances is approved. Next, we're going to hear the petition of 524 East 45th. This is a variance to the minimum rear yard setback requirement, 23-004390.
All right. The petitioner is requesting an 11-foot reduction to the 20-foot rear yard setback to construct a rear addition to the principal dwelling. The property is located within the RSF6 zoning district at 524 East 45th Street. The minimum rear yard setback requirement in the RSF6 zoning district is 20 feet. Provide you a picture. The subject property is a rectangular shaped lot of approximately 6,300 square feet in area and 60 feet of frontage with 105 feet in depth with lane access to the rear of the property from East 44th Lane. The property is located not only within the RSF6 but also the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Local Historic District. I've spoken to the Director of Historic Preservation, Leanne McCulloch, and there is no need for a certificate of appropriateness for the demolition of an existing rear addition that they have to construct a new rear addition. The property is currently developed with a one-story single-family dwelling, a small rear addition, a rear deck, and a rear accessory building. The rear addition currently meets the 20-foot rear yard setback requirement. So as you can see on this, there's like a little addition over here, and then he has which is essentially a type of storage accessory structure that was existing and which is non-conforming. And what they are proposing is they have an existing deck here, so they will be demolishing that and demolishing this little rear addition over here and kind of reformatting it so that there would be an addition, a master bedroom, a rear addition, and then have a deck to this area, and they will be keeping the existing accessory structure. Good. going through the criteria, the requested variance is consistent with the intent of this ordinance and comprehensive plan. The request is not injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. There are no special conditions or unique circumstances which are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved and which are not applicable to other buildings regarding the subject property. The petitioner is proposing to demolish the existing deck and existing rear addition to construct a master bedroom that will encroach into the minimum 20-foot rear yard setback by 9 feet. And I'm going to go through the staff recommendation. Based on the findings in the staff report and that the petitioner is not suffering any undue hardship, staff recommends denial of the requested variance to the minimum 20-foot rear yard setback with a reduction of 11 feet from the required 20 feet, leaving a remainder of a 9-foot rear yard setback at 524 East 45th Street. However, if the Zoning Board of Appeals is inclined to approve the requested variance, it is unlikely to be a detriment to the public good.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for the staff?
No.
All right. Thanks, Mrs. Leto. Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Good morning again, Board. Michael Johnson with Shaw Architecture. And I'd like to speak to, first I'd like to thank staff for their help on both these projects. They've been helpful over the last month and a half trying to get these submittals in. I would note that on this project, if you've not read them already, we can bring them up. I think we have over 6 letters of recommendation and in support of this addition that are from neighbors on each side.
Actually, 8
letters of support from neighbors on each side, including neighbors on the other side of the street. I'm going to go back to this picture, I think. No, not the map. And then we'll go to our submittal. So I can pull this up in our submittal as well. So this addition kind of forms an L, and you can look at in this photo the adjacent property. So both the adjacent property to this property as well as the property to the rear of this property have additions to their main house that exceed the variance request we're asking for. Oh, that would be great. Thank you. So where that this property is abutted on that on I guess that's the western side of where we're doing the L. The property immediately to the west also has an addition that extends beyond what we're asking for. The property directly behind them on the lane has an addition, yes, thank you, that extends all the way to the lane with no setback whatsoever. So I feel like let me add to that a little bit. This is also the smallest house on the street. This is a fairly well-developed street. It's a beautiful street. It's a great neighborhood for all of those who know this block. It's a very communal neighborhood, hence all the letters of support. This is really the best and only option for them to go and expand this house a little and bring it into context with the neighborhood. As you can see on the site plan, you can see the L that extends both adjacent to them and to the rear of them as an addition to this property. And what we're asking for in this case is less than both of those additions. So, from an expectation and as a property owner, you would expect to be able to develop your property in a similar way that's contextual with your neighborhood. And I think we're asking to do that. We do also have the property owners here that are able to come up and speak to that. Come up.
Good morning. My name is Ruprecht von Gwinner, and my wife and I live in the U.S. since 10 years now. We plan to apply for U.S. citizenship early next year when the duration of the green card has been passed for that. We live in the loveliest neighborhood that we've ever experienced in our life here, and we're very happy to be there. There's only one problem. The house is very small. We expect to have by March next year 7 grandchildren. We have a family visiting all the time, but it is not easy in this house. And so that is the reason why we would like to add one more bedroom there, which, as has already been said, would be clearly less than what our neighbors on both sides have extended to. So I think it's a modest change, and we would be very grateful if it could be approved.
Thank you very much, sir. Any questions for the petitioner or the architect? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? If you will, raise your hand. Any online?
No, sir.
All right. Mrs. Jarrett, would you like to say anything?
It appears from the mapping that there are only a couple of houses that don't have something that extends into the setback limit along East 44th Lane.
I agree. Mr. Plunk?
No. Nope.
Mr. Condon?
No, thank you, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Okay, would someone like to make a motion?
Motion to grant petitioner's request.
Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion?
No.
Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 139 North Leeds Gate Road, variance to the minimum side yard setback, FTO construction and addition, 23-004535.
Thank you. The petitioner is requesting a variance to the 5-foot minimum side yard setback for an addition to the principal dwelling. The property is located in the RSF's residential single family zoning district at 139 North Leeds Gate Road. The subject property fronts onto North Leeds Gate Road with no lane access to the rear of the property. It is in a regular shaped lot of approximately 6,098.4 square feet in area. The property is currently developed with a curved driveway. Let me show you. Driveway. This is the front of the house. And this is also kind of a side view of the house as well, where the addition would be placed. The property currently is developed with a curved driveway, a large oak tree in the front yard, and a one-story single-family dwelling. Going through the variance criteria, the request is not injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. Let me show you a proposed site plan. This area is the subject addition. It has a setback of 3 feet when the requirement is 5 feet. The parcel is of unusual cone-like shape where the side yards angle inward toward the rear yard. Proposed addition would encroach 2 feet into the required 5-foot side yard setback, resulting in a 3-foot side yard setback if the variance is approved. The little interpretation of the regulations would not deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. Other properties proposing to have an addition that would encroach into the required side yard setback would need to apply for a variance, such as the petitioner has done. As there are are likely suitable design alternatives available, not requiring a variance. MPC staff recommends denial of the requested variance to the minimum side yard setback from the required 5 feet to the requested 2 feet reduction at 139 North Leeds Gate Road. However, if the Zoning Board of Appeals is inclined to approve the requested variance, it is unlikely to be a detriment to the public good. I am here.
Thank you. I never got to meet you.
The petitioner is here as well.
Any questions for Mrs. Leto?
I have one. Hi, Ms. Leto. How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for all your good work.
Thank you.
It appears from the map provided that the right rear portion of
The site plan.
The site plan, yeah. It appears as though the right rear corner of the home already is about 2 feet off the property line.
Correct. I'm not sure when that was constructed, but yes, it is nonconforming to the side setback as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner? I mean, for staff?
Any letters of support or opposition from any of the neighbors on either side?
No, not as I've received.
Okay. Any more? All right. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
My name is Kenneth Wilson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yes. The project itself is just an extension to the dining room so that we'll be able to put the entire family around the dinner table and to be able to eat together. So this being our first home, the children wanted to keep the house. So that's why we are extending the dining room.
Any questions for petitioner?
Have you spoken with the property owner whose line is being encroached upon? Has he had any comment one way or the other?
We're good neighbors. We made sure of the setback and making sure the line that wouldn't cross the line.
So just to be clear, I think he's coming. He wants to come within 3 feet of it, but he's not going over.
Right.
Yeah. Any other questions for the petitioner? Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much, sir. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Any online?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to add? Mr. Evans or Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No. Mm-hmm.
Would anyone care to make a motion?
No, I was going to move for approval.
Well, yeah. Are you moving for approval?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mrs. Jarrett?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the petition is approved. Next, we're going to hear 404 West Wahlberg Street for rear setback variance. There's no number on this one.
Uh-oh.
Ah.
Number 10, 11, sorry, 23-00453-CBA. I'm so sorry about that.
Okay. We'll make a note of that in the minutes, Miss Mary. When you type them up, Mr. Morrow stated the number because it's not on the agenda here.
There's also no staff report in the agenda for this item.
Good morning. How you guys doing? Edward Morrow, Development Services here. So the present petition is for a request over at 404 West Wahlberg Street. And this is a request filed by Patrick Shea on behalf of the Community Housing Services Agency. CHSA is a nonprofit housing developer that was established in 1989 by the city and some associated partners for the purpose of developing affordable housing. The specific request today is to reduce a rear yard setback from a requirement of 10 feet to approximately 5 feet 6 inches. The proposal here at this site is to develop 16 apartment units that are two-bedroom units. They are affordable housing that is ideally for small families that are in danger of being displaced because of the rising rent rates in the city of Savannah. HPC reviewed this particular petition back in July of 2023. They granted a COA and additionally forwarded a recommendation of approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals. Findings in this particular case, subject parcel totals 0.2 acres and it's situated east of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard between West Bolton Lane and West Wahlberg Street. Subject property is within the Victorian Historic District and it's zoned TC2, Traditional Commercial 2. The development proposed, again, I'm so sorry, it was reviewed by HPC in July 2023. This is a rendering or elevation of the proposed apartment buildings. You can see there on MLK. In reviewing the variance criteria, staff found that this was consistent with the intent of the ordinance in maintaining the established development pattern within the area. And the requested setback is unlikely to be injurious to the neighborhood character or otherwise detrimental. Also, it will attempt to attenuate the shortage of affordable housing within the region. The special conditions, there are some special conditions with this particular parcel because of its unique shape. It's an L shape that has double frontage. And typically our zoning standards are based on parcels that would have front, rear, and sides. And so application of those standards to this particular parcel would cause somewhat of an undue hardship. And so a literal interpretation in this particular case would deny the applicant of some of the rights commonly enjoyed by other properties. This is the minimum variance that is required to develop the parcel as requested. Special privilege would not be granted if this board chose to approve today's variance. You can see here a site plan. There was one other variance request that was associated with this parcel that we resolved prior to coming to this board. It was a request to reduce one parking space. The petitioner had an excess of bicycle parking spaces that were able to be converted to moped and motorcycle spaces, which would eliminate the need for an additional variance. And so today there's only one variance request related to that setback. And so based on this review, staff recommends approval, and I am happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff?
What about parking?
So the based on the site plan that we received and the amendments to parking based on the addition of the motorcycle and moped spaces, the proposed development is fully parked on site.
Any other questions for staff? All right. Would petitioner please come forward? Mr. Shea, I want to tell you I was glad to see you walk in the door this morning because there was a death announcement in the obituaries yesterday for Patrick Shea, and it didn't give anything but the dates, and I was hoping it wasn't you. Glad to see it wasn't.
I went to the doctor for my annual checkup yesterday, and he told me that I was very much alive. So
I can see.
I'm very happy to be here with you today under these circumstances. Thank you. So, again, I'm Patrick Shea, Senior Principal with GM Shea Architects, and this is Meredith Stone. Meredith is the lead designer for this particular project. And, of course, we agree with the staff report. We'd like to commend your staff on the level of cooperation in the city of Savannah in working through this process. It's a very, very meritorious endeavor, and we hope that you'll see favorable to their recommendation.
Thank you. Any questions for the petitioner?
I have.
Go ahead, Ms. Bell.
You know, Mr. Shea, I'm always asking about affordable. When we say affordable housing.
Yes, ma'am.
What price range?
I can't tell you the exact price range, but the concept is to try and help people that are currently unsheltered, especially young families, be able to transition into being able to pay rent. So it's not going to be market rent. It's going to be below market rent.
Workforce?
It could be even less.
Yes,
it could be even less. I mean, the idea is to try and help people that are currently unsheltered to be able to make the transition, learn how to pay rent, learn how to get settled in that world, and then transition to another location so they can keep bringing people out of homelessness.
Okay, you know how I feel about affordable housing.
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you show by raising your hand. Okay, is there any online?
Sir.
None online? Okay. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Mr. Plunk?
Only that the project sounds like a noble endeavor to me.
Yeah. Mr. Condon?
I agree with my brother.
Mrs. Jones?
I'm okay.
You're okay. All right. Would someone like to make a motion?
A motion that we accept petitioner's request.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to accept the petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on the motion?
No.
Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jarrett?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the petition is approved. All right, lastly, we will hear 12 Entleman Street, 618 through 624, East Gwinnett. Entleman Street, 618 to 624, East Gwinnett. And again, there is no number on this one either.
That is my fault. I am so sorry.
If you will, state the file number, please, for the record.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. The file number is 23-004542-ZBA. All right. Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow again. This is a petition filed by Joshua Yellen on behalf of Jerome Elder for seven parcels that are at the intersection of East Broad and East Gwinnett Street. And the petitioner is requesting variances to the maximum permissible height of structures in the TC2 zoning district, which is three stories up to 45 feet. The petitioner proposes to redevelop a blighted historic theater in association with three new buildings. One of the proposed buildings would have mixed commercial and residential uses, and the other two would have residential uses. The two buildings would have partial four stories that are 47 feet in height, and there would be a partial fifth story that would be approximately 58 feet in height. It's important that I note that a specific development plan has not been submitted for this. This is purely submitted on the basis of determining the feasibility of these heights within this particular zoning district. So in essence, we're just discussing height today, if that makes sense. There would be forthcoming plans, at which time other variances, and adjustments might be required in order to get them through. So, all right. So you can see on the screen in front of you, this is the proposed site plan. I'll leave that there just for a moment. We will have a setback, right here that you can see. This is going to, actually this would be three stories, which again is permissible right now in the zoning district. And you would have a partial fourth story. Over here, you are going to have, So I'm going to jump to the bottom just so everybody can see what it looks like. This is kind of the street view perspective. So from the street, you're going to have three. You're going to jump up to four here. The fifth story is back here. If you're standing on the street, again, you would have another fourth story portion here. And right here going down into the underpass, you would be at three stories. This is the historic theater building. Again, just to kind of give you a visual before we go into details of the request. All right. So some facts and findings on this case. There are seven parcels that are part of the proposed development. They adjoin unimproved Intelman Street. This particular section of right-of-way would be improved as a result of the proposed development. The subject properties are not within a historic district. However, they are right on the boundary of two historic districts, the Downtown Historic District and the Victorian District. But again, that is on the other side of Broad Street, and this particular site is not within one of those districts. The seven parcels themselves comprise approximately 1.3 acres. They're zoned TC2, traditional commercial, and the current zoning district would permit the development of apartment buildings or mixed-use buildings as are proposed. If the parcels were to be developed as apartment buildings purely, you would be allowed to have three floors up to, again, that that maximum height of 45 feet, but again, within three stories. So it would be the structure, however it is that the peaks would get you to 45 feet, but three stories. And that would have a requirement of 435 square feet per dwelling unit. Within the TC2 zoning district, buildings are capped at 10,000 square feet of floor area apiece. And so in this way, the density of any particular building is sort of capped within this district, again, consistent with the traditional development pattern, if that makes sense. So when we look at this in a gross sense, again, once you apply all the site development factors, the net number would actually be very different, but just in a very rough determining a gross density, with 1.3 acres, you would potentially get 129 units and an absolute maximum. Again, the net number is likely to be much lower. But just to give you a sense of kind of the scale of what type of development we would be talking. And again, we're not talking about a particular development at this time. Those are details that would be determined later on within the site development process. The height map, which applies to properties that are on the other side of East Broad Street, would currently permit up to three stories. And the subject parcels are within the downtown Savannah Parking Reduction District. Any commercial uses, any non-residential uses that would come about as a result of this would be entitled to a variety of parking reductions based on their nature. Just to identify a couple, eating and drinking establishments, which we know are proposed, as well as indoor amusements potentially would be entitled to as much as a 40% parking reduction. Initially, it was thought that the existing theater might qualify for it would be grandfathered with regard to its parking requirement. Right now, staff is unclear as to whether or not they would get credit for the previous fact that the theater was developed without parking, in essence. So these are still details that we're working out. Again, just pointing to the fact that we're talking about the feasibility of having a height beyond the three stories at this particular location today. This is a map from SAGIS showing the location of the parcels just outside the historic districts. To the north, you can see the downtown historic district, and the green portion is the Victorian district. This is the historic district height map. And so the site is right here at this corner. You can see just outside the bounds of the height map, but again, you've got a strip of three stories. I'm sorry if I can get my mouse together. A strip of three stories. Can you guys see my cursor? Okay. This thin strip that looks kind of pink indicates three stories are permitted, and just behind that, 2.5 stories, just to give you some context. Other sites around here, obviously outside of the scope of the height map. And finally, these are the downtown Savannah parking district regulations. And right here within this circle is the subject parcel just inside the parking reduction area. Just to give some context again, in downtown, these areas are parking exempt. If it is identified in green, those areas that are yellow, there is a table entitling certain non-residential uses to parking reductions. Residences in this area still require one parking space per dwelling unit. In looking at the criteria, general consistency, as presented, the proposal is consistent with the intent of the ordinance. Through deep setbacks of the fourth and fifth stories, the petitioner has created a concept that is contextually sensitive to the site's surroundings and the traditional pattern of development that's contemplated here. Other policy documents, particularly the flume, point to the idea that this particular intersection is going to be a node of commercial activity. So this is an area where, based on staff's reading of the existing ordinances and policy documents, we are going to see a mixture of uses and an intensification of activity. And this proposal is consistent. Again, this is not a request for zoning. It is simply a request to evaluate the feasibility of height higher than three stories. Again, also the idea that you would want to promote commercial uses that are responsibly located within close proximity of residences. So. Special conditions, there are no special conditions or circumstances that are applicable, except for the fact that, again, this is done in the context of preserving the historic theater. So it's sort of an infill development in that regard. The request is necessitated by the petitioner's chosen design. Obviously, a less dense proposal could produce something that might not necessarily require these. But again, the petitioner will make the argument that this is in the interest of preserving the theater. So the request is likely not purely financial in nature. Again, in sort of understanding the intent to preserve the theater, I believe this is an attempt to kind of bring those two things into balance. A literal interpretation would not deprive the petitioner of any rights and would not result in unnecessary due hardship. And the variance is not necessarily required to make reasonable use of the subject properties. If granted, this variance would not confer on the petitioner any special privileges. And so again, here we are at the renderings that were provided to staff last week. And ultimately, staff recommends approval with the one condition that future specific development plans be relatively consistent with this, in essence, in keeping with the proposed setbacks of fourth and fifth stories of any of the proposed buildings. And with that, staff is happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Any questions for staff? Mrs. Jared?
So you said something along the lines of not making the residents feel like they were being enclosed. I wonder how the resident at 612 Gwinnett's going to feel about it, or the ones at the duplex next to it, or the single family. I mean, they are going to be surrounded by this development. And, you know, issues connected with cutting off the parking for that one duplex are also a concern. Needless to say, you know, parking is a big concern of mine. And I do see that the conceptual site plan shows underground parking. With the viaduct there for Gwinnett, I have serious concerns about underground parking and the burden on that retaining wall for the viaduct. And frankly, the people on the opposite side of the street having three stories and then almost immediately two and a half stories, having to face three, four, and five stories across the street is a big concern as well. So,
if I could just respond, that was something that was brought up. As you guys just heard, the setback variance, it was kind of beneficial in having both of these on the agenda at the same time so that I could say, hey, are there any opportunities to potentially improve the off-street parking situation? The petitioner is open to speaking with, the De Silva. I just remember the last name, person who owns the home and is intending to build another home, which would have the setback on the front that you guys just approved. They are willing to work with them to hopefully improve that situation. So,
I do have another concern because there's a church that's right next to it. So how would that impact the church? And then, you know, because then another concern was number six on the form that you had, you know, about the eating and the drinking. Since it's, I'm not sure whether it's allowable, what is it, 600 feet? Whether alcohol and wine would be served in the eating establishment?
Right. So that requires special use in this zoning district. So they would be required to go through a process and gain approval from the Metropolitan Planning Commission as well as City Council in order to do anything that involved alcohol. That would definitely be something that would be pursued later. So restaurants would be permitted by right within this zoning district. So.
Because I do have a concern when it comes to 3, 4, 5 stories in a residential neighborhood because the impact that it has on the residents. You know, the allowable parking, as Ms. Jarrett has said, is a concern because once they have expanded that parking, then they'll start parking in front of residential homes, you know, knocking out them because all residential homes do not have an off-street parking.
Absolutely. It's staff's understanding that one of the principal bases for this request was in order to accommodate more off-street parking. And so in working with petitioner going forward, we want to clarify that a portion of what's going up would essentially be parking, right? So that limitation for height, they're running up against meeting the off-street parking requirement, again, with the concern of, you know, the viaduct and just kind of the precarious circumstances that are inherent to underground parking. They're attempting to accommodate as much parking on site as they can. That's staff's understanding.
And the other thing, by it being in that overpass on Gwinnett Street, that's a flooding area. So how would that also, because when it rains hard, you cannot go through Gwinnett, especially with the underpass.
Absolutely. So at the point that site-specific development plans are submitted, that's something that would be determined by the city's reviewing departments, including stormwater, traffic, and all the other relevant departments.
Okay. And I noticed that you had letters of opposition.
Yes, that is correct. So we did receive 3 letters of opposition, in essence, asking that this petition be continued so that the neighborhood could have more time, in essence, I guess, to prepare and sort of understand what was being asked.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Any other questions for staff? All right, would the petitioner please come forward?
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, let me get your. Oh, you have something. Oh, look at you. You're so prepared.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to touch pad?
Yeah.
Oh, were you going to do it? Oh, in the back. Okay. Sorry, I'm leveraging this bar.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the ZBA. For the record, Josh Yellen here today on behalf of the petitioner, Jerome Elder, who's standing next to me from J. Elder Studios. We're going to just pull up some images of the site and the plans just to show you. But I am excited, and I'll jump in while Jerome gets that set up. I'm excited to bring this petition before you today. I think everyone in the city of Savannah is probably excited to see some form of rehabilitation of the historic East Side Theater, and that's 100% what our request today is about. We are not proposing a rezoning. We are not proposing any other variances other than the height variance. Our proposal is to restore, rehabilitate, and adaptively reuse the historic East Side Theater, which needs to be mentioned is not within a historic district. Any applicant could go out by right and demolish this theater, increase their buildable lot area, and not come before you with the variance that we're asking today. But because we have this very unique opportunity to restore the theater, we need to make the rest of the pieces work on the site. And the only request that we're asking is for the height variance. There are other similar projects that need setback variances, that need parking variances, that need all sorts of variances. What we are asking for and what has been recommended for approval by staff is solely for a height variance. And this height variance, we believe, has been very carefully planned and very carefully tiered to minimize impacts on the surrounding. What we've done is stepped everything back from every visible right-of-way so that there is only one portion of one building that is 5 stories. Then there are 2 buildings, and you can see it from this angle, which is obviously an angle that no one will ever see from as we're looking down on the building. As you can see in the back corner of the property, that would be the one portion that would be five stories. We have the two buildings where only one portion would be four stories. And what's important to mention contextually about the site, I know we all know the East Side Theater. I'm sure we've all driven by it many times. Built in 1946, sat 750 people, which under today's standards would require 189 parking spaces. At the time it was developed, the East Side Theater was ringed by apartments and houses. They are no longer there, but for the two, one of which it should be mentioned, we are restoring. We are not demolishing the house on site that you can see in the photo. We are going to reuse it. Is it within our right to demolish that house? 100%. Could we put a building adjacent to it? Yes. But our plan here is to restore every single historic structure that's on site. What makes this site unique, not just because of the historic East Side Theater, is what you can see in the distance, where you can see the trees in the back of the site. Behind those trees, and as Jerome is pointing out, is the CSX rail line. What few people know, or maybe if you study this, what you can see for this grassy area along here, adjacent to the CSX rail line, that is all zoned industrial. There's 20 acres of industrial property immediately adjacent to this site. And what is the height limit for industrial property? Zero. Anyone could go in on that industrial property and build a structure with unlimited height. And so we've conscientiously designed this proposal to put our very limited taller buildings at the back. It's important to mention also, and what came up from Mr. Morrow's staff report, and we do thank him for the recommendation of approval, is that we are not making this request in order to bypass the city's density requirements. We could already put, by right, about 129 units on this property. They would be 129 studio apartments. We could probably fit that with three-story buildings, but that is not the type of development that we want to have. We don't want a multi-studio development. We want a multi-family development. And so in order to make the units bigger with multiple bedrooms to have families live in them, we need to go up somewhere because it's a balloon. We're squeezing at the balloon here. We have the theater that we 100% are committed at this point to restoring. We want to bring it in both to restore a theater within the building, not just restoration of the building itself, but we do want to restore a single screen theater within that site. The other use proposed is currently for a food incubator, for a food hall. We know that there are community benefits and active uses that are good for the community. I know that our client has had very good conversations, both with Savannah Tech and other partners who want to come into this site because this building right now is an underutilized asset to the community. We want to make sure that we can open it up for the community, restore it to the life that it previously had as a monument and testament to the city of Savannah, and make sure that it is not destroyed. Our proposal today is to restore it. We think what we've proposed is a very limited height variance. We're not coming in with a blanket of walls. We know that there are other projects on East Broad, 601 East Liberty being one, the Park and Broad Apartments being the other that are currently there. Park and Broad Apartments, yes, it is a three-story building. It's also 28,000 square feet. We are working within the ordinance as presented, dividing it up into the three 10,000 square foot buildings. We're not asking for an increase to the building size. And so we are doing everything that we actively can to make this site work in the context of the ordinance. But we do believe that the height provides for a more usable, more rentable, better product for the future tenants that we hope to get into this building. And it also allows for better, and as Jerome could talk about being the architect for this project, it frankly provides for better architectural design. This district, not being within the historic district, doesn't have parameters for architectural review. Jerome probably doesn't want me to tell you that. I know he's very proud of his design. I know that our applicant is very proud of the design. But the other reason for us requesting the height is so that we can do a pitched roof, so that we don't have to do a suburban flat concept that would be out of keeping with the area. Jerome could talk to you about how he's studied the area, studied the designs, and is conscientiously designing this site to be in keeping with the historic pattern. And what's interesting as well about this site, unlike on the other side of the street, which does have the historic grid pattern that we see in downtown and Victorian District. This site from Gwinnett Street all the way to Liberty Street has never had through streets. It has always been kind of this middle ground industrial area with very large lots that are very different from the character across from them. There used to be bakeries and commercial and industrial uses all along this area. We have the large school. We have the large park. We know that this is a great site for infill multifamily development. School, we have actually two schools, I should say. There's the Forme Early Education Institute down the street. There's also the middle school directly behind us. We are within walking distance to the Kroger. And despite all of that, we will be adequately parked. We are not asking for a parking variance. And I know that this has been a lot, and it's kind of, I'd like to think of it as the grand unveiling for this project. But we did want to get feedback from y'all on this petition. I know that there's members of the public who are here to speak on it. We're trying to get feedback from everyone to ensure that everyone in the city of Savannah can be proud of this restoration and can be proud of this rehabilitation, because we believe it's good not just for the community, but for the city of Savannah. And I've spoken a lot longer than I was planning on, because really this is about height, and that's Jerome's realm as the architect. But we do welcome any feedback and any comments, not just from the board, but from the community. And we want to see how we can make this project really be the crown jewel of East Broad Street. So thank you all for the time. And we do thank Edward for his recommendation of approval for this height variance request.
Well, good morning still, everyone. And I guess thank you for all of that information. First, I want to thank the MPC staff, because they have been very helpful as we've been developing all of this. Well, just make sure I introduce myself. I'm Jerome Eldon, the architect for the project. So over the course of the past few weeks, we've been working directly with the MPC, working with HSF Savannah, working and reaching out to the community. And one of the things that my team and I have been very fortunate to be able to be a part of are these discussions about revitalization of this area, revitalization of the theater, learning the histories, the oral histories, the physical histories of that area and that corner. And for us, we saw that as being the anchor point. The theater, when we've, and that particular site with the various lots that are currently vacant, which are the ones that we are going to be doing the new projects on. As we were exploring that, we wanted to work not only within the zoning requirements, but also we were trying to understand what are the needs of the community. And talking with the East Side Concerned Citizens, and also talking with the neighboring church, which we've been in communication with as many neighbors as we can. We're still open and are working on engaging with everyone. Because again, this is a process. This is something that you do as a community. The developer has, NIDA has the ability to have and put assets towards, as in monetary assets towards developing the land. But they also want to see this be something that's for the community and that will bring benefit. So with that, we realized that not only is this site in particular something that people see sitting on the East Broad corridor, which some say is a boundary, but for us, we see it as a connector, as an opportunity to bring all of the different aspects of Savannah together, blend it, start bringing in more uses, give more activities. So one of the concerns that they brought up was housing. I think everyone knows that we have that. And what, as Josh Allen mentioned, we can, by right, get about 129, 130 units on here. However, we weren't comfortable with how we would have to do it. One of the options was go for one large building, similar to what is seen a little further down here for Park and Broad. And instead, what we've done, and you can see that in the site plan, is, let me quickly just jump here. Well, I'd use this, divide it into three separate buildings. And I'll jump up to the site plan, just pulling this up. And to answer some of your questions, Mr. Rett and also Ms. Jones, for parking, we have been working with and exploring with our civil engineer, starting all those different discussions, which will, of course, go to the SPR for review, how we can do underground parking below this L-shaped area. And then also in the building that we are proposing to be up to five stories with that five story as a setback and the fourth story as a setback, which you can see in the 3D view I'll show later. That building actually, and it's in the proposal, would be a surface, the first floor of that building will have surface parking. So that also helps us accommodate it. In doing so, what we're doing is also trying to accommodate the necessary parking and required parking for even the theater uses, because the theater currently has no parking spaces. And whilst we currently have a letter that at least lets us know at this point in time, there are some parking spaces that will be grandfathered in. We wanted to make sure that we won't be negatively impacting the remaining community and neighboring neighborhoods on their parking requirements. Another aspect is that we are looking at reopening Entleman Street and actually creating a connector, as you can see all the way around, so we can address traffic flows. I know one of the concerns about flooding is that when you develop the land, well, how would that affect flooding? That's part of what we're working on with civil engineers and also whomever else is working at the site to address mitigating it. And that's something that we'll be doing over the process of this development. To address a few other things, for this project in particular, we are also trying to make sure that the building massing gives us the opportunity to design something that is thoughtful, respectful, and also speaks to the future of where Savannah can be. Because I'm from Trinidad, so clearly you hear my accent. And many people always ask, well, what made you want to come back? Because I went to school here for college, and then I left and I came back, and I've been back, and now I've been in Savannah for a total of 15 years. I came back because Savannah was home. It's the home away from home. My parents have decided that this is where they want to retire to from Trinidad. So I'm looking forward to that. But one of the things that we are all facing is that everyone else wants it to be that way. So Savannah has now become, it's a good problem. We have a housing shortage. And again, going back to those first concerns to address the housing shortage, this isn't even trying to maximize and get 129 units. We're somewhere in the range between 80 and 90 units. And within those 80 and 90 units, we're also trying to accommodate workforce housing and some affordable housing. And in order to do so, that's why we are having to go a little higher. Because if not, we will end up just with a lot of studio units. Because from the time you start going to larger units, the cost goes up, and also you end up with less units, which means your price goes up. So we have worked and believe that what we are proposing here with the setbacks would not only allow us to develop this thoughtfully, but also develop it with those aspects in mind, because it's of utmost importance to the developer, to myself, and I think to the community at large. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask. But
yes. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have a question for the petitioner?
I do. Have you talked with the residents in the area? Have there been any public meetings on this?
We have. We've gone to the Neighborhood Association, so Eastside Concerned Citizens at WW Law Center. There will be an upcoming meeting, which they're working with to have a larger meeting, because I've only been able to meet with the vice president and a few of the members, because in order to organize it, it takes a little longer than the past few weeks. They're working on that, but so far the feedback has been very positive. We've been in discussions with the neighboring church, St. James AME, and I'd like to thank Reverend Scott, who I believe is here as well, because a lot of it, as I said, it's all about community. And for us, this is how we see us being able to address many of the concerns that we're getting. HSF Savannah has been part of it. MPC also, even not that it it's not in a historic district, but we've even included the historic review staff in this discussion, looking at the massing, looking at the setbacks and the how this can be seen as an appropriate massing and height for the area.
One of the things that I hear from the public is that the heights are of concern. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned that you did not want to build to ask for a variance to the 10,000 square foot limit for building.
Yes.
But instead you wanted to ask for a variance to the height.
Yes. So
have you talked with the public about what they would prefer?
We have, and we've shared this, and what we've gotten is positive on what this massing is. As you can see here, because of the setback for what we're asking for the height isn't across the board, and what in Ed's...
I hear what you're saying as far as the setback goes.
Yes. So, yes.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
No more than a statement or two. I'm familiar with the Eastside Theater.
Yes.
Because we grew up going to the Eastside Theater. Even on the weekends with baller tops to get in order to be able to go and do the movies. So a lot of what you're talking about, we do understand. Glad that you are remodeling that because we wondered what was going to happen to that theater. So the design looked good, but I still have, and I'm also glad to hear that you're talking about affordable housing and workforce housing, because we seem to forget about the leased and left out. When developers coming into the city, they're building these luxury apartments and everyone cannot afford it. So I'm really happy to hear about that. Now about the height, I always have concerns about that too, because sometimes, you know, when you're talking about 4 and 5 stories, it's a concern to me. But thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner? All right, hearing none. Thank you. I'd like to see a show of hands. How many members of the public are going to speak concerning this petition? Okay, we've got a few. Before we go, would someone like to make a motion as to a time limit on speaking? You're free to make any motion you like at any time.
Mr. Yellen.
Yes, sir. Sorry, I thought there was going to be public comments, so I was talking to Mr. Murrow.
No, specifically, I wanted to speak with you.
Yes, sir.
I think based on the letters of opposition and the folks that are here, that there may be a small disconnect between what you all are thinking and maybe the situation. I would make a suggestion that possibly you ask for us to continue this so that you have a little bit more time to work with those folks, because I've got concerns about the status of the neighborhood association and so on. Just a suggestion.
Yes, sir. And that is something Jerome and I were talking about that before the meeting. This site is unique in that it is the Eastside Concerned Citizens neighborhood. We have heard opposition, not from the actual neighborhood association. We've heard opposition from adjacent neighborhood associations, which always, I know Ms. Jones knows about this, that it's always unique. We try and go to the neighborhood association and not to the adjacent ones, because we want to give them the deference of the neighborhood association. That if we're going to Filer Park, I don't talk to Ardsley Park about the project, but understand the concerns, and that is 100% something that we would be willing to entertain. We are very proud of this project. We think that a lot of people will be supportive of the project. We know, and even if it's continued, I can promise you that we're not going to win everyone over. There are people who are simply against height. We need the height, not to say that there aren't some changes that can be made, but we need the height to save the theater and to make a buildable, rentable project for families and not studios. But yes, to answer your question, that was a long-winded yes, that we would be willing to entertain a meeting and to try and get everyone in the room. So thank you.
I do believe that you can make a motion to continue whether or not it's requested.
I have a question for staff.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mr.
It seems like looking at some of these letters of opposition that there was some question as to whether there was appropriate signage posted. I see that in the agenda there are pictures of signage. Was there any issue with public notice? Is there any reason in this particular case that there would have been, you know, a lack of public notification given as opposed to a normal case?
Public notification was done in accordance with all requirements of state and local ordinances. So, what I'm hearing is that at some later point, signs might have fallen. But again, that would not necessarily be something that, unfortunately, they do fall. Sometimes they do, get distorted by wind, weather, and staff, unfortunately, is not able to run out and address every sign. Mailers were sent. Signs were posted. All notification requirements were met.
Thank you. Okay, I believe Mr. Condon, are you going to make a motion?
I'm going to make a motion that we continue this proposal to our next meeting to give them the appropriate time to meet with neighbors and so on, so that there's a little bit more comfort. The sense that I got from the letters was that people felt maybe somewhat disconnected from the process. This is a very important project, and I agree with what Josh the architect said. We want to make sure that whatever is done there is, you know, respectful of the very historic building that's there and the historic neighborhood that exists there. And so, having said that, I make a motion that we continue this until our next meeting.
Mr. Condon has made a motion to continue this petition until the next meeting, in order for the petitioner and the neighborhood to get together and try to come to more of a consensus that can be presented before us. Mrs. Jones has made a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jarrett?
My concern is that we've gotten this far in the project, and we have a lot of people who are here who wanted to speak. Should we allow them the opportunity to go ahead and speak?
Well, after we deal with this motion, you can certainly make a motion that we do that.
Okay.
All right. Any other discussion on the motion? All right. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes, and this petition is continued until the next meeting. Mrs. Jarrett, would you like to make a motion?
I move that we take the time to listen to the residents who are here, the citizens who are here who would like to speak on this project.
Okay.
Second.
Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to go ahead with public comment on this continued petition. Mr. Condon has seconded that. As far as discussion on the motion, I would like to ask, are you including any kind of time limit?
2 minutes, I think.
2 minutes. And so Mrs. Jarrett is also amending her motion to include a 2-minute time limit per person. Mr. Condon, do you also second the amendment?
Second the amendment.
All right. Any further discussion?
I personally believe that if we're extending if we're postponing this so that they can discuss amongst themselves, I'm not so sure if what we hear today may be relevant. If the whole point is for them to be able to discuss, you know, by the time we vote on this again, we would ideally like to hear from them and how those conversations went. I think all of this could be irrelevant by the time we vote on it again. I understand that, you know, a lot of people came down here, but I think the primary ask of quite a lot of the people that come down here was to postpone this hearing. And now most of them, you know, I believe are getting what they came to ask for. That's just my thoughts on it.
And I will add that if we do extend the invitation of the public to speak, it will also mean that the petitioner will have a chance to respond to that public comment. And we've pretty much had a meeting on the whole thing. Anyway, so
Understand. I would just suggest that if they are willing to wait until they've had an opportunity to meet with the developer, they can certainly withdraw their willingness or their interest in speaking. But if they'd like to speak, I think that they should be given an opportunity.
Is there any further discussion on the motion before us? No. So the motion is that we extend public comment to the continued petition. It's made by Mrs. Jarrett. It's seconded by Mr. Condon with a two-minute limit. So, Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
No, and I'm going to break the tie and vote no as well. So this petition is continued until the next meeting. Yeah, that's it. The meeting's adjourned.